Well, g'day and welcome back. We're on for another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Meats and Livestock Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian livestock industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle swap. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Well, today we're going to jump into Meat and Livestock Australia's recently released November 2025 Beef Producer Intention Survey. This is a really valuable piece of data and a report in general, which provides some really useful information and insights into directly from the producer, how they're thinking, what their intentions are on adjustments in their herd size, their sentiment around the outlook for the beef industry over the next 12 months, ideas on sale programs and splits on number of cattle that have been sold and will be sold looking forwards. And it's a really valuable piece of information. They survey around 3,000 producers twice a year and about 1,500 in the smaller wave. And the report came out today, so I've gotten straight into the numbers and we'll get into it now. But I think at a top line level, there's probably three key takeaways. And I split that up by sentiment, the intention or the intention of the producers collectively, and then sales. At the sentiment level, producers are the most optimistic collectively that they have been since the inception of this survey. Doesn't matter where or which state you're located in Australia, and it also doesn't matter at what scale you operate. Generally very, very optimistic and positive across the board. But I think the big one, which is not unsurprising, is this significant improvement we've seen in sentiment around the outlook anyway from Southern Australian producers who at the time were just beginning to really come out of and begin to recover from the drought of 24 and 25. And that improvement in sentiment and that uptick is clear to see in the report. At a herd intention level, two-thirds of the country's producers, so over 66%, intend to either maintain or expand their herd size in the next 12 months. That shows you that the significance of that figure, I don't think is to be understated, particularly when there's a bit of uncertainty around season. And then the other aspect to that is, I think underlying it, producers still have this hunger to grow numbers. Obviously, when cattle prices are performing, you know, between 5-year averages and 90 and 95th percentile pricing, that is obviously also quite supportive of a continuation in wanting to build numbers. But it does give you an indication with that statistic, two-thirds of the country wanting to maintain or increase, that there's capacity in the system to do so, or at least the producers believe so anyway. The step up, I think, is the other aspect to that. So year on year, there's been a 5% increase in number of producers wanting to grow their numbers. And really, that's been driven heavily by Southern Australia and a somewhat reduction out of the north. Finally, on sales, there's big numbers of sale cattle to come forward in the first half of this year. There's a number of different reasons for it, but generally, we can look at that intention and that statement from the producers that we should expect to see big supply between January and June of 26. I'll get into a bit more of the sentiment stuff at the minute now, though. And when you compare it by region in terms of Northern and Southern Australia, the sentiment splits are pretty similar. There's not a whole lot of difference across the board. And both regions, or four or five producers in both regions, or four in five producers, are either very positive or positive. And when you compare that to negative or fairly negative, it's chalk and cheese in terms of the difference. So I'd encourage you to have a look at the report, and it shows you in the charts, you know, generally how optimistic everyone is. And if they're not, they're certainly sitting at neutral. But I think the big highlight at that sentiment section of the report is the 30 percentage point increase year on year in overall sentiment at a national level. Not insignificant. And obviously the drought, when the previous iteration of this was taken in 2024, was really significant in the South. So at a point in time, it does show you the difference of how much an improvement in conditions can make. If we turn our minds back to October, November of 25, seasonal conditions and the spring in Southern Australia was exceptional, particularly in the Western District, Southeast South Australia. There was really strong recovery there for a lot of places. And obviously that's translating into these really solid results you're seeing in how producers are feeling. When we look at splits at a more granular level, the larger scale producers were definitely more optimistic in places up to plus 94, and the scale goes to plus 100, which gives you an idea of how strong those larger scale operators are feeling and what their optimism is for the future. When, as I mentioned, those Southern Australian states, particularly WA, South Australia, and Victoria, they, as individual states, experienced the strongest year-on-year improvement in sentiment. And obviously, as I've mentioned, the turnaround in season from November 24 is such a major contributor to that. Looking at the producers' intentions collectively to either increase or reduce numbers, 50% of producers intended to increase their herd size in the next 12 months as of November 25. And that was strongly favoured to Southern Australia. The intent to increase in the north is there, but it's certainly not as significant when you're comparing it seasonally. And what I mean by that is year-on-year change in terms of the significant uptick out of the south. The north is not as strong. Seasonal conditions obviously underpinning this, and the recovery or the road from recovery from drought for the south is important. I think the other aspect to remember, though, the stable seasons in Northern Australia are still encouraging producers to grow numbers. Couple that with strong cattle prices, and it's a good recipe for an overall intent to increase. And if we remember the fact that this survey was conducted in October, November of 25, the northern season for regions, you know, north of, say, Roma, Springshaw in Queensland has only gotten better. Obviously, thoughts still go out to those in the far north dealing with extensive flooding and livestock losses. But at a general level, seasonal conditions have improved since then. And cattle markets, although they've come off the boil in the last week or 10 days, are still historically very, very strong. The combination of those factors of a turnaround in season in the south, strong or positive seasonal above average conditions in the north, and cattle prices performing reasonably well, that's a good recipe to see continued growth. And I think you're seeing that in these results, in the responses from the producers. There's clearly that intent there collectively across the board. In the south, the southerners, in terms of how they do it, that's the other aspect to this report. It goes into the actual ways, intentions of how producers intend to do things, be that particularly in this case of herd intentions, either rebuild or decrease or destock. Southerners have shown a real intent to purchase more steers this year than what they did in 2024, whilst the intent to retain more heifers than usual to rebuild numbers has actually reduced compared to the survey in 2024. That data supports price performance, price trends, anecdotal evidence, conversations I have with the market, and a number of other sort of channels, all pointing to the fact that southern producers are looking generally at the minute to restock first and get into a short-term trade, background some cattle for a feeder, you know, or to enter a feedlot rather than step into a major rebuild. There's a couple of reasons, and I mentioned it in the last episode in terms of the weaner sales as to why. The first one is the lack of confidence in season, and a second one is the need to generate cash flow to repair budgets and the balance sheet. So it's interesting that this data is another, not nail in the coffin, but it's another supporting piece of evidence to indicate that we are going to see the first, you know, and potentially up to 12 months for the South, period of their recovery from drought focus around trading and a restock rather than a genuine rebuild. Looking across to how producers, or the 35% of producers who intended to reduce numbers over the next 12 months, how they went about that, there was a really significant portion who looked to turn off more cull cows. That was particularly evident for the North, which again supports some of the things I've said on this podcast previously about the number of heifers coming through in the system for those producers to replace cull cows. We saw a fair bit of a sell-off of cows in, you know, the second half of 2025 when the cow market really strengthened. But the intention there to continue to reduce numbers through the sell-off of cows is supported by a larger availability of heifers in the system behind them. What I think is also interesting, though, and it sort of goes hand in hand with the intention to increase, is number, or the two factors that producers nominated as numbers two and three in the reasoning for a decline in cattle herd or a reduction in the herd over the next 12 months was actually to do with a wish to downsize the business, or they nominated personal factors such as health or retirement. And when you consider that and couple it with the intention to increase, there's a really strong link there between the number of producers looking to, or nominating their wish to expand the size of their operation or the scale of their operation. And that goes hand in hand, obviously, with the numbers looking to decline, because clearly the bigger getting bigger in that instance, and they're wanting to make acquisitions or purchases to expand the scale of their business. It's an interesting point how health or retirement and an intention to downsize are there as the two and three most prominent factors as to why there's a reduction. The fourth point, which 13% of producers are nominated, was volatility in cattle prices. Now, that's down from 28% nominated volatility in cattle prices in November 2024, or the previous survey. So that reduction of 15% occurred over 12 months, and it's dropped from number two to number four. It gives you an idea, obviously, when seasonal conditions are good, and obviously the cattle market in 25 was so solid, how you can see the movements up and down the scale of where issues sit and how much they drive or influence decisions to either increase or decrease. Lastly, though, on that front, despite all the noise, producers, 1 and 2% of producers nominated shifting to cropping or shifting to another commodity. So despite, you know, a lot of discussion coming out of it, a little over 3,000 cattle producers and 35% of that nominated an intention to reduce, very few are actually planning to change enterprise. So it's interesting to see that it's discussed often, but the raw data tells you it's actually not as much of a shift out of, say, beef cattle into something else than what it's purported to be. On sales, as I mentioned, big numbers of stock expected to come through in the first half of 2026. I think what is interesting on that front, though, is the fact that if we turn our minds back to November, Queensland, or large parts of Queensland, particularly the south, had a pretty good general start to their wet season and had some good summer rain. We saw producers shut up shop for the year, stop selling feeders, and wait until the new year with some more weight in the cattle. And that's really correlating with the data we're seeing at the minute. Producers in Queensland, out of any of the states, are intending to sell more than most as a percentage of their turnoff in the first half of 26. And it gives you, again, it's that raw data from the producer supporting anecdotal conversations I had at the time and others with the intent to wait until the new year to market stock. But generally across the board, there is it's pretty even in terms of the actual numbers of cattle due to be sold and even on percentage splits. But again, 4 to 4.5 million head of cattle due to move or to be traded in the first half of 2026 from the producer. What does this all mean? There's a lot of numbers in this data. It can somewhat be overwhelming, but I think a lot of the figures, and I've sort of referenced it a couple of times today, a lot of the numbers that we're seeing directly from the producer align with conversations or anecdotal evidence that we've seen elsewhere. That gives you a fair amount of confidence to leverage and utilize this report to inform your own business decisions or to get a better understanding of where the broader picture and the broader industry sits. I think it's very clear that there's strong levels of optimism across the board. The positivity is there. And then when you look at how that optimism connects with seasonal conditions, connects with cattle prices, that aligns really closely with that intent to either maintain or increase cattle herd size. So, you know, you think about where we are now. Admittedly, this survey was taken a couple of months ago. There is dry conditions throughout central New South Wales into northern New South Wales and southern Queensland. But, you know, those big major cattle areas further north of them have had a really strong start to the year. The south, whilst not expecting rain, is in a positive position with, you know, a really strong body of dry feed. That optimism clearly has continued to flow through to decisions producers are making in real time. And my conversations, I think, generally are aligning with that. It's a fantastic piece of research. It's really well done by MLA and the third party provider Intuitive. What I would say, though, as a bit of a call out is, as a beef industry, we constantly talk about having a lack of, you know, current available data on herd size and things like that. The Australian Bureau of Statistics have pulled back from reporting herd size as frequently and as in much detail. I think it's what I would say is we can whinge and complain about, you know, not having access to data, but I would highly encourage you, if you're a beef producer in Australia, to participate in this survey, because ultimately the more that get involved in it, it might take 10 to 15 minutes, but the more that get involved in it, the more participation we get, it means more accurate data points. And it allows people like myself to then share that information through channels like these and transform that data into an insight, which you can then use to inform yourselves as producers and obviously the broader beef industry to understand where things are at and to inform decision making. It's a really valuable piece of data. In the future, I will circle back on this report and look at herd size change at a state level and by south, southern and northern regions of the country. But I would encourage people to get involved when the next one comes out. That's all for this week. Next time, though, we're going to get into the H1 2026 StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Outlook Report. I'm going to jump into my forecasts for the cattle herd size for this year, slaughter numbers, beef production, grain fed turnoff, beef exports, carcass weights, etc. And then also share my views on where I see supply and demand in 2026, the factors influencing it, the key risks and opportunities for the beef industry, and a general discussion on the outlook for the sector. So make sure you tune into that one. There was a fair bit in today, so I can imagine it may have raised some thoughts or interest from people. If you've got a question about it, feel free to reach out to me. Send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com or record a voice note of yourself, where you're from, and the question, and I'll get to answering it in the next episode. Remember to share this if you found it interesting with any of your mates, or give it a review on Spotify or Apple. Obviously, the more that listen to this and the more that get access to it, it could potentially help them in their own businesses or learn a bit more and understand a bit more about the beef industry. But until next time, thanks for listening. Take care, and we'll see you then. Cheers.